time. Lots happening.
We're back.
But we are. We're back. And tell them about where we're going today, because we started off saying that maybe we were going to talk about a certain book of the Bible and how we were going to navigate through that, and then we landed on...
Well, we want to talk about, ultimately, we want to talk about Antichrist, okay? But right. We can't just jump right into that because it's so loaded with stuff and directions and everything. We thought that we would kind of ease our way in with you today.
Yeah. So right? It's going to be a series.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a series for us.
Right.
To move forward in.
Right.
Man, that beginning conversation, just the whole idea behind what you're able to hear with your ears as a believer and what you cannot hear as an unbeliever, and what we can all hear as believers and unbelievers, right?
Right. And what we can know and what we can't know, because once we start talking about what's called Bible prophecy, eschatology, whatever you want to call it, you know, and specifically if we want to talk about Antichrist, we have to kind of make some decisions out the gate, because this subject is so huge.
You could
spend all day on it for the rest of your life. Literally.
Yeah.
You could.
So let's dive right into the 10 horns then.
Right. Well, I know what number 3 is. No.
We're not going to be going down those kind of paths. We're not going to be naming who the Antichrist is, because...
What?
No.
Oh,
Doc.
Oh, man.
You can buy a book.
Okay.
From years back.
Okay.
There's plenty of guys to choose from.
I have a stack of them, actually.
Well, I know, right?
Right. What? No, so, but what we need to start on is really what we can expect to know from Bible prophecy, first in a general sense, and then get more specific. Because really, I think a part of the problem with all of this is an over-expectation of... You know, I'm going to know this, and I'm going to be ahead of the game here, and I'm going to know that. And the Bible itself really gives us some pretty clear guidelines on this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we should start. In fact, I think we should jump right into Matthew 24.
Let's go there.
Because there, Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he's telling them things to come from their perspective.
Right.
So if we jump in there, in fact, right to the second coming itself, because he has a kind of a build-up to it that he does. So if you jump in Matthew chapter 24, you know, he talks about tribulation, he talks about stuff happening and woes and all these things that are coming.
Right.
It says some things about the second coming itself. It's like lightning, and then there's tribulation, sign of the Son of Man. But if you jump down to verse 36, as far as knowability, okay, this verse is so amazingly important.
Right.
Because it says, but of that day and hour, that's speaking of the day and hour of Jesus' second coming back to the earth.
Right.
Okay. But of that day and hour, no one knows.
Man alive.
We got to start with that, okay? No one knows. All right? Now, they're listed here. Not even the angels in heaven.
Okay.
And it also says in Mark 13:32, and it by extension here in this verse as well, nor the Son. Jesus didn't know. But my Father only. The Father is the only one who knows this day and hour.
Right.
All right, so the Jehovah Witnesses didn't know it when they said it was 1914. Mm. All these false teachings and all this stuff, and not just them. I mean, all these, I guess you could say, sincere evangelical people, like 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in 1988. I mean, Edgar Wissenhunt, he knew. Just one problem. Jesus didn't show up.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he wrote his 89 book. You remember that one, too? That was a classic.
Well, that was the year right after.
Yeah, it was. And Jesus didn't come then either. So it's a problem. So there are some things, obviously, that we can know, because otherwise why would Jesus give this whole teaching that is this whole chapter, right?
Right.
But there are some things we can't know. And one of them, to lay it down to start with here, is the day and hour of the second coming. Nobody knows that. If they say they do, they're a false teacher. Just mark it down in your book. They're off, and they should not be listened to.
Right.
But if we back up to the beginning of Matthew 24, I find it very interesting how it reads.
Okay.
Remember now, the whole chapter is about things to come, quote-unquote Bible prophecy, whatever you want to call it. All right, so look at verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to him to show him their eschatology charts.
No.
Sorry.
No. Here, use my Bible.
I got it. No, I was reading from the UV.
The Unbeliever's Version? The Unbeliever's Version.
All right, the real Bible says, and the disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple, which were intact, which were there. You could go into the temple, you could see the temple, you could touch the temple.
Right.
In the days of Jesus and the disciples. Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." This whole temple complex here is going to be wiped out. Now, to the Jews that lived in 30 AD,
right,
that is one of the most horrendous things you could say. That's big. And then in verse 3, so Jesus says this when they're at the temple. So later on then, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying... Privately, right?
Hey, yeah.
Tell us, when will these things be? We want to know. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And then Jesus answered and said to them, "Boys, don't worry about it. My coming, it's way off. It's at least 2,000 years away. I mean, you guys feed the poor, heal the sick, you know, do the stuff, but don't talk. It's just way out there." Is that what Jesus said?
No.
No, he didn't, actually. How about this? Well, what do we know now that the disciples didn't know?
Oh, we know a lot.
I mean, we know that Jesus won't come in the second coming in 70 AD. They didn't know that. After you read this, if you were a disciple sitting with him there in 30 AD, you didn't know that. We do. We know Jesus won't come in what's called the patristic age of the church. 200s, 300s, 400s AD. We know that. The people that lived then didn't know
that.
They
didn't.
How about the Middle Ages? Dude, you want to talk about a time when they wanted Jesus to come.
Man.
I mean, Christians having their limbs cut off and on the torture racks and their fingernails being pulled out. I mean, dude.
The plagues and the disease and the oppression.
Even so, come Lord Jesus. But we know what they didn't know while they were living through that, that Jesus wasn't going to come then.
Yeah.
And then you go to the more modern times, like World War I, World War II. And
the Dust Bowl.
Yeah.
When they're severe. Yeah. What
we know what those people didn't know. Jesus wasn't going to come then. Now, here we are living in 2023. So what do we know?
That he didn't come in 2022.
That we know. Okay. Right.
Is that what you're getting at?
Well, so what I really want to get at from verse 36, in light of verses 2, 3, and 4, is there is a supernatural being who does not know also.
Ah, and there it is.
His name is...
Lucifer, the devil.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
The devil doesn't know.
He doesn't know jack.
The day and hour of Jesus' second coming. Well, whatever.
I mean, he might know.
We know that he doesn't know that.
He doesn't know.
Because it says, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son.
Right. And there's only one devil. Right. There's not a bunch of devils.
Right.
There's demons, there's a hierarchy.
There's fallen angels.
Right. So the devil, he don't know.
And therefore, right. And so he can't tell his people.
Right.
And they don't know.
But what can he do?
And you know what? We don't know because Jesus didn't tell us. And he's not going to tell us till it happens. Let's get that into our little
noggin.
Bible prophecy noggins. Okay.
You're just not going to know. But you know when the train's coming.
You hear the whistle.
You can hear the whistle.
That's
you
right.
can hear the ground shake
sure.
if you're close, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely. You can read this stuff that's in Matthew 24. There's a lot of stuff there.
So rolling all the way back into 70 AD,
mm-hmm.
were there any whistles blowing?
Oh,
was there ground shaking?
Word.
Right. Like Jeez. So it's just like we have this desire, I mean, some of us, I mean, do people that don't know Jesus, is there like, there's nothing on them that's going, hey, you know what? I think things are a little wacky right now. I wonder if there's going to be like a time when God is going to, like,
well,
how do you?
Yeah, I mean, not in the sense that we do, but I mean, they could look at the economic uncertainty and the banks failing and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And go,
yeah.
Know, right? Okay, but so if Satan doesn't know,
right,
then that really brings some things into focus. Okay, Satan.
Thank you.
Right. As we march into, let's just say we're marching into the future from the Mount of Olives with Jesus and the boys, okay?
Okay.
So we know much of that future because we have history and we've lived our lives up to 2023. They didn't know that.
Right.
From whatever they died or the city was destroyed, 70 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But Satan also doesn't know, so there's certain things that he can't do that would be based on the assumption that he knows. Including preparing a future super boogeyman antichrist that is just the right age, at just the right time,
what?
Just the right position in life, and wow.
Yeah.
How's Satan going to do that?
I don't know, but that's interesting because we talked yesterday about the Left Behind series,
oh, yeah.
The late great Planet
oh,
Earth.
Yeah.
We talked about these different books, right? So,
right.
The last book that we were looking at, like that big seller that LaHaye and Jenkins wrote, they wrote it back in 2000, which was 23 years ago,
right.
Which means that there is a generation that's coming up. You know, they might know Friday the 13th movies. They might know the horror movies, but they don't know. And what is going to ring the dinner bell? How does Satan ring the dinner bell for that generation? Is there going to be a future super boogeyman?
I don't know. That's a good.
Because there always has. There seems like there always it has been.
I don't know. But one of the things we're going to do in the sessions that are ahead of us is we are going to debunk the future super boogeyman idea. And this is the start of it right now. And so, listener, if you can't receive this, that Satan does not know the day and hour because he doesn't. If you can't receive that, then you're going to have a hard time with the rest of this whole series.
Wow.
Okay?
Yeah, because but we can bring you out. We can walk you out.
Oh, yeah. We can help you. Okay, so, and then what could we know? So let's jump over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1.
Hmm.
See, what we're going for here is rearranging our mental furniture. we're adjusting our worldview of the quote-unquote end times. In chapter 1, Jesus has this encounter with the boys, the apostles, and they say to him in verse 6, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Total misunderstanding of 3.5 years of Jesus teaching the kingdom, showing the kingdom, everything about the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. It's time to repent.
Yeah.
We're healing the sick. We're casting out the demons. We're enforcing the victory of heaven on earth.
Yeah.
And we're sending out people. And they didn't get it. Okay? So what does Jesus say? Now, boys, just sit down. Now here I am in my resurrected body. I'll just teach it all to you again. Is that what he says?
No.
No. He says, verse 7, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Come on, man. I just bought my last Bible prophecy book because I want to know times and seasons. Why would you buy those books unless you wanted to know times and seasons?
Well, the word
is
gives us...
Is this the last of the last stage? Is this the lead up to the big brouhaha?
It sure does seem like it. Man,
you think we're the first people that ever thought that?
No, we're not the first people.
We're not.
But it's been a pretty long time.
The question is, will we be the last?
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But there's enough happening right now.
Here's the deal. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Okay, so there are things that you should know. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told Matthew 24, all of that stuff that's in there.
Right.
Why would he tell us if we weren't supposed to know? But we weren't supposed to know the day and hour of the second coming. We weren't supposed to know, in other words, when the big wrap-up of the whole big deal is going to be.
Right.
That's what we won't know. So all these promises that we will know it are kind of running contrary to what Jesus said and what Scripture itself shows. But Jesus says, here's the good news you were talking about, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I think if we spent more time on that and less time on Bible prophecy speculation, we'd get Jesus back here faster, because this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Maybe.
No, not maybe.
Well,
then the end will come.
Well, you don't. But we don't know when the last tribe of people are going to receive the word of God.
Right.
So
we do. You're right. We don't.
You're never going to know. That's really the bottom line. Is you and I will probably never really know that he's coming tomorrow.
There will be a sound of a trumpet. When you hear that, you'll know.
Right.
I mean, heavenly.
A heavenly trumpet. That will be pretty eerie. Especially if you have a little hearing loss. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, but this is the deal. We know and we don't know.
Right.
You got to be willing to live with that.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah, so, I agree.
So this whole span of time here then, like, between the Mount Olivet Discourse and 2023, you could use that. Or, as we probably will as we go through these topics, you go back, the book of Daniel has a lot in it about this. So from the book of Daniel in the 6th century B.C. to 2023, how do we stand knowing that we know some things they didn't know, but there's some things that we will not know?
Right.
That's what we got to, I think if we understand that, then we begin to see that these very specific schemes that identify a certain person as the future super boogeyman are really wrong.
Right.
And we shouldn't listen to them.
Right.
And that, in fact, maybe there's a different reality to Antichrist than has been popularly spoken about.
Yeah, and we're not coming out of this telling everybody, look, you just need to relax your stance, because there's right. a pendulum.
Stay alert.
That we, you and I have talked about. Get your swords, or don't do anything, and just take it easy. What do you? Don't be in such. Live life. Be happy. Be merry, or whatever. Right.
Right. No. Be filled with the Spirit.
Okay.
And
so
go out to the ends of the earth, and to Samaria, and to Judea, and to Jerusalem. That's where you live. But to cover this ground from the Bible times to us and beyond, we have four main methods of interpreting. Listener, you need to get these. So if you're taking notes, write these down.
Right.
Seriously, because you really need these to understand what people say about this stuff. So four methods of interpreting things, like the second coming itself, like Antichrist, like any one of these topics of the end times. And there's a lot of them, okay? But those are the main ones. So the first one is the idealist method.
Right.
That method says the things that we call Bible prophecy are out in the ideal realm. They're good versus evil. They're metaphorical. They are not literal most of the time. And before you blow that method off, just sit down in one time and read through the book of Revelation. Come back and tell me that it is a book loaded with symbolism. Okay?
Right.
So there's a whole issue there of literal interpreting versus figurative interpreting. And when we say that things are figures of speech, we don't mean that they're not real. We mean that they establish their meaning by symbolism or by comparison. And so you have a beast. Okay, when John saw the beast, and he may, and the whole language of dreams and visions and revelations from God, of course, you see things in symbolic perspective. And that's even the nature of prophecy, too. But you can't force those to be, let's just say, literalistic. So in Revelation 13, a beast. A beast is a wild animal. This is not a wild animal, literally. This is a human being who has certain characteristics of a beast in his operation and what he does. So that'd be one example. So the idealist method looks for the big themes, the big picture. God ultimately wins. Satan ultimately loses. And in the meantime, there's all these different, it's almost like a drama, almost like a movie maybe, that this thing is unfolding and showing before your eyes when you're talking about the big sweep of quote unquote Bible prophecy.
Right.
So that's the idealist method. All right. So the preterist method is second. The preterist method says the things that were given on the pages of Scripture, so let's use our example that we've read here in Matthew 24, the Mount Olivet Discourse. Okay, the preterists would say everything in that discourse, this would be a thoroughgoing preterist now, everything in there was fulfilled from the time Jesus spoke it to the time of the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. And they even go, some of them even go so far as to say, and Jesus came, the second coming happened. And I'm like, hold on a second there. And they take a certain passage out of Josephus to prove that, which is interesting. There's no book in the Bible that says Jesus came back in the second coming. Although, if you really check on the dates in which the books of the New Testament were written, in my opinion, I don't think any of them were written after 70 AD except 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Now, that's a big question there, of course, but that's my opinion.
Right.
So they couldn't have. If Jesus came in 70 AD, the books were already written, except 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John.
Mm.
We'll come back to that later on down the line. Okay. Yeah. So the preterist. And I, before you just blow off the preterist method as ridiculous, consider that Jesus wasn't sitting on the Mount of Olives speaking to, oh, in 1517, Martin Luther is going to nail the theses on the door at Wittenberg. And wow. And then, and, you know, in the 20th century, this is going to happen. He wasn't really doing that. He was speaking to a group of men to take them mm-hmm. from 30 AD to 70 with faith. Most of them would be dead by 70, killed, martyred, you know, but to get them there. Now, does it have implications for later on? Yes, glad you asked. That brings us to the third method, okay, the historical method that looks within the passing of history for things that match up with the data in the Bible. If the Matthew 24, if it's looking for stuff that would happen in
right.
Gregory the Great or in Martin Luther's reform or in what the popes did in the Middle Ages and all that kind of stuff. And rightly so. Okay, not that Jesus specifically prophesied that stuff, but since he didn't come, the one thing we can't know, you have to let history play itself out.
Right. And people have looked for markers all through that, right?
Sure, and they should. Now, the fourth one, to me, is the most problematic. Because most evangelical Christians, this is their only method. Okay? And it's called the futurist.
Mm.
And they just jump in at Daniel and say, well, you know, the king of the north. Well, obviously, that's the future super boogeyman. Is it really?
Mm.
Well, yeah, because I'm alive now and I need a future super boogeyman in my imagination and in my theory, so that the Bible makes sense to me. Well, we're going to help you with that, listener, down the road here, okay? So the futurist method is a valid method. It's important, but it's not the only method.
Right.
In other words, the Bible prophecies don't leave the lips of the speakers in either B.C. or Jesus himself and leap up into the atmosphere and float around for thousands of years. And then all of a sudden, oh, hey, there's those people down in 2023. Wow, look at it. And they all come down and land. That's not reality.
Right.
It really isn't. Although many evangelical Christians kind of think that way with what they call Bible prophecy.
Right.
Did you hear what just happened in Rome?
Ooh.
Did you what know what's going on in Jerusalem?
We could be in there three and a half weeks now.
Ooh. We should be alert and we should be aware, but we're not the first people to ever see fulfillments.
Right. That's good. We're not.
We're not. And we may not be the last.
There's other big questions. Peter, I'm holding everything back.
It couldn't go beyond this generation now. Could it? Man. Well, there's a lot of Christians that thought that and acted that way, and here we are.
Yeah.
Generations later.
I know.
So what we want is a position that is thoroughly biblical, that is responsible to the text of Scripture and to the leading of the Holy Spirit, but that it's, can I use this word, Pete? It's sustainable.
Mm.
Not in the not in that sense that we've often discussed.
Right.
but in a good sense. It's sustainable, and it'll take us. And fully believing that the second coming of Jesus is near. It's at hand. It's important. It's very important.
Well,
we love his appearing.
Right.
So there you have the four methods. And we'll, as we go forward here, we'll be kind of flipping back around among them and as is needed to bring clarity and light.
So in the meanwhile, as we wrap up today, you should be living out Acts chapter 1, verse 8.
Ooh, that's good.
That's where you need to, you got to park there because those are kind of the last instructions. You're going to be a witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria.
The last instructions from the chief.
The last instructions from the chief.
And from there, he left and went back into heaven.
And so the question is, have you received power?
Hallelujah.
That's what he said. He says you're going to receive it. So how does that come? And that's
chapter 2 where they receive it.
They did. And you know what? We're entering into the season. We got another, 48 days. We're going to be landing on the day of Pentecost.
Yes, sir.
Historically.
50 days.
It's one of the greatest days that ever happened. It's the birth of the church.
Resurrection day of Pentecost. Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Resurrection's a big deal.
And listener, there's a place in this whole, if you want to call it an end time drama, there's a place for you. And your main place is what Pete just said. And that is getting on this great commission.
Yeah.
You can talk to people where you shop. You can talk to people where you work. You can live an exemplary life before them. There are people who would take notice and sit up just to see a person like you that doesn't cuss, that doesn't cheat people, that doesn't rip people off.
Yeah.
In business deals. They're in a good mood. Yeah. And they're speaking positive, healthy, life-filled stuff.
Yeah.
People notice that.
Yeah, they do. Absolutely, they do.
And you can do that.
Your place in this. You have a place in this.
You do.
There's nothing skirting by you. You can be part of the whole thing. And wouldn't it be wonderful, right? It's going to be wonderful when we get up into heaven.
Whoa.
And you're going to see all those faces that you brought to the Lord, the people that were unlikely to come, the guys that you thought would have never said yes, and here they come.
Those five that came up on Sunday
In
Minneapolis.
Right?
Five young people, three boys and two girls. They're all probably 18 to 21, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
I could almost wept because I was just holding them and loving them. With the Father's love.
This was down in Minneapolis.
Right.
Ground zero for a lot of terrible things. And yet, the gospel's going out, Doc.
But good things happen Sunday.
Hallelujah. Wow. Well, thanks for joining us. It's good. We'll be in this study for a while. Find some time to share this with some of your friends, I would say. Of course, I'd say that. And Doc would say that, too. So, you know, this is how the word gets out. To stay positive, this is encouraging stuff to give you some things to think about when you're, you know, slinging a paintbrush or whatever it is that you do in life. We'd like for you to come back and be ready for the next episode.
God bless you.